Actually, show would probably be better after a shot of Crown. On our parts, show would be better. All right, so we threw that out there. Mark Spears reporting the Lakers have sort of narrowed. The Lakers are reportedly interested in upgrading a point guard, and two of the options are Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, and which one you would prefer, which one fits best. If you throw everything, you know, the two to tango rule, in other words, somebody's willing to make a deal, you can make the salaries work, all that stuff. Who's the best fit, CP3 or Russell Westbrook? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. All right, so John, when's the last time you got on an airplane?
About a week ago.
About a week ago.
When I went to Denver.
Nice. And how was everybody behaved?
Well, I flew on Frontier, so it was kind of anything goes. but most people were well behaved.
Okay, so airlines and federal regulators are scrambling to contain a sudden uptick in unruly passengers on planes. The FAA has received 3,420 unruly passenger reports so far this year, and 3,000 weapons have been seized at airports.
Really?
Are you kidding me? Who's bringing a weapon to an airport? There's clearly a picture there that says, I always think that picture is funny. You know which one I'm talking about? When you first enter security and they have a picture, none of these things are you allowed to bring on the plane. There's a picture of a gun. There's a picture of a samurai yeah. sword. There's a picture of a screwdriver. There's yeah. all these weird, random pictures. So in an undisclosed location near airports around the country, flight attendants are receiving training in aggressive self-defense moves that are specially designed for close quarters. Flight attendants learn the double ear slap, the eye poke, and the groin kick. They learn tricks to swiftly disarm passengers with sharp weapons and how to use items readily available on board a plane for defense. These moves are designed to de-escalate and quickly subdue passengers. This is trainer Scott Armstrong, quote, "You don't want to get into a long, drawn-out fight. This is, as they say, not a drill. Just last week, the training was put famously to use when a female passenger on an American Airlines flight to North Carolina attacked and bit several flight attendants. She tried to open the plane's door mid-flight, and the attendants were able to wrestle her down, grabbed a roll of duct tape, and taped her over her seat so she couldn't move around anymore, and she was charged when they got on the ground." Where is this coming from, this all of a sudden rage that seems to be on airlines?
All right, this is a horrible idea.
What is?
Training flight attendants to go full martial arts on passengers. It's not part of their job. I'm friends with a lot of flight attendants because, you know, the Laker plane, we get to know all the, we fly Delta.
Yeah.
And so, matter of fact, one of those flight attendants, Jana, lives right next door to Lindsay Theory.
Oh, wow.
Lindsay's husband's an airline pilot.
Is a pilot, yeah.
Yeah, and so Jana, and then we, you know, I know Vanessa and Jill and Lynn and Deborah, that we have all the same flight attendants all the time. They're all great. Asking them to put basically a Cobra Kai move on an unruly
yes.
passenger is ridiculous. It's not part of their job.
Well, it is part of the. They're there for the safety of passengers.
Right.
If there is
it's beneath
an unruly,
them.
If there's an unruly passenger, is it not their job to establish
of
safety?
Of course it isn't. What are you
of
talking
course
about?
It is. That's their job.
No, I think we go back to, you remember after 9/11, every flight had an air marshal. You just didn't know where he was. Bring back the air marshal.
I don't know that we still don't have that.
Oh, if we do,
that may still exist.
Okay, if we do, then have that guy do the chokehold.
No, I'm all for ninja flight attendants.
Well, if the flight attendant wants to do it, fine. But the flight attendants I know have no interest in beating the crap out of a passenger.
And I'm all for Cobra Kai flight attendants. Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
I'm trying.
And would you like some pretzels?
First of all, Vanessa, who listens to our show.
Yes.
Who's been flying the Lakers for like 20 years.
Yep.
I guarantee you is laughing hysterically right now at your idea of strike first, strike hard, strike fast, no mercy.
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. Yeah. That's what I want from a flight attendant.
I'm picturing her dealing with a 6'9" power forward. It ain't
well, yeah, I mean,
man.
On your flights, that's you're on a private flight. It's all lounge. I'm talking about the ones, you know, where people are stuffed in. You know, one of the things they did, and all the lines are lit. We'll get to your calls. One of the things they did during the pandemic was they put an extra two rows of seats in every plane. So, in
right,
other words,
to get their money back.
Right, you have even less room than you had well, before.
I got to tell you, there's a model. This plane doesn't exist yet.
Okay.
But I saw a model for a plane in China.
Yeah.
Bicycle seats.
No way.
Just so you could jam more people in. Yeah.
And what? You got to pedal the engine?
No, what? You don't have to pedal. But you sit on a bicycle seat.
Oh, that's insane. You can't sit on a bicycle seat for that long.
Well, it was primarily for short flights. Like, if you're just going, like, Beijing
to Shanghai.
How is
that safe?
It ain't.
Right.
But how is it safe asking the flight attendant to do a wheel kick?
Okay, so crazy lady on the plane last week. Let's just go with crazy lady on the plane.
Yeah.
Out of control. The flight attendants had no choice but to subdue her.
To sweep the leg?
And bound her. Yeah, it was an American Airlines flight.
They had to sweep the leg.
They had to sweep the leg, exactly. Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
All right, I'll let my friends know. Hey, Jana, start sweeping the leg.
They had to subdue and bound a woman tightly to her chair using duct tape. That's what it's come to, people.
I'm going to ask the girls I know, hey, where's your duct tape?
Where you've got to fly with duct tape. All right, so we were talking about the Lakers and the Mark Spears report about maybe they're interested in Russell Westbrook, maybe they're interested in CP3 and might be trying to work a sign-and-trade for them. And the question was simply, which guy makes sense? Which guy would you rather
now,
have?
I love both these guys, and since I got to walk a tightrope here, I'll let you give the opinions.
Okay.
Here's Adrian in Carson. Adrian, what do you think?
You got to go with the triple-double machine and Russell Westbrook. I love CP3's game, but, you know, Russell's from L.A. I think he brings the intensity, and he's going to bring that toughness to our squad. And I don't know if in the past it's been proven that CP3's been clashing heads with a couple of bigs and on different teams with the Clippers and whatnot. So I think he could be a cancer sometimes. And that's all I got to say. Got to
okay,
head out like
Adrian,
a baby, guys.
Thanks,
so
man.
Go Dodgers!
Go Dodgers! Absolutely.
Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, the one difference between, and yes, Russell Westbrook is a triple-double machine, but Chris Paul can't shoot. And that's the one thing we were really missing during the stretch where we didn't have LeBron, didn't have AD, and into the playoffs was we were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. I think we ranked 21st or 22nd in three-point shooting. So if there's one thing the Lakers should be looking at right now, it's finding guys that can also shoot threes.
Well, couldn't I counter with Giannis doesn't shoot threes and he just basically won the finals by himself?
Sure, you could absolutely counter with that.
Yeah.
But and I guess Middleton, not a three-point shooter, right?
Well, yeah, sometimes, but not. They didn't. I mean, they were a good three-point shooting team during the year, but they didn't bomb a lot. In fact, you want to hear something interesting? The team that's led the league in three-point shooting the last 4 or 5 years has bombed out early in the playoffs. It's like it hasn't held up in the playoffs recently, but I still think you need it as a weapon. Here's Brandon in Hollywood. Hey, Brandon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi. So first thing. Go Ninja flight attendants. Bring back
yes.
the Marshall, but that's probably more expensive. So in theory, the flight attendants could cover more ground, but just the idea of being on a flight and watching a flight attendant do karate to neutralize like
by
an
way,
unruly,
can you imagine can you now, imagine that guy, what, that woman coming at you with the beverage cart? Seriously. She's gonna run you over.
And now Westbrook versus Paul. I think it's Chris Paul, no question. I think the thing about Russell Westbrook, we all like his character. We all like his basketball, you know, acumen and how hard he goes. But he's ball dominant and not necessarily, like, in a good way for what we got going. So I think Chris Paul would be a little more, like, glue. And he gets along with LeBron, right? I don't know for a fact, but I don't know. So.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that's definitely
John,
for real. Thanks,
John,
thanks for the call, man.
What's the best golf course in L.A.? Thanks,
guys. Brandon, well, it depends. If you know, if you want to play a public course, which is what I think you're asking, you can get on Pelican Hill. It costs money. It's expensive. But
That's
it,
a for, public course?
Yeah, but and for a public course, it's spectacular. There's another one called Sandpiper, in Santa Barbara that's right on the ocean, and Torrey Pines, where they just had the U.S. Open, as a public course.
There's also my home course, Rancho Park.
That's not a bad course.
No, it's a great. By the way,
it's bad when you play it. But, you know.
It's rough. It's a real. For me, it's a really tough course. For you guys, it might be really easy. All right, oh, get some more calls in 877-710-ESPN. Plus, John, what to do if you get a wrong number text from a blonde named Amanda?
Hey now,
that is coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Sad.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But true.
Sad but true.
All right, Mace.
So, yes.
The flight attendants have weighed in.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right. This from my friend Vanessa, who, as I mentioned, has been a Delta flight attendant for 2 decades. She's the greatest. John, I'm listening to you right now, and I agree with Mason.
Oh.
A rarity. If I was attacked in close quarters on the plane, my defensive reflexes would instantly kick in, and I would punch back. I might be small, but I'm mighty.
Yes.
FYI, all Delta flight attendants are trained in basic self-defense.
There you go. Ninja flight attendants. They're all
new
out there.
Who knew?
But what do they always say? They say they're there for our safety. They're not there for our comfort so much. They're there for our safety first. That's the most important job they've got. So protecting us from an unruly passenger seems to be right in their line of work.
Well, I'll tell you what, not that I ever did before, but I'm going to be very careful not to snap at Vanessa.
No, I'm telling you, Vanessa's got she's got some fight in her.
Big UCLA fan, Vanessa. I guess I got that going for me.
I can forgive her.
All
that.
Right, you want to take a couple more of these calls?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here is Josh in Van Nuys. Hey, Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How's it going, boys?
Hi, Josh.
Good, man.
All right, so between the two, they both have pros and cons, but honestly, for the Lakers, I think the best pick would be Chris Paul. Not only is he a leader based on his past teams, you see how they've done well going to the playoffs. Although they got bounced out, he got them there. And not only that, but when he takes shots outside of 15 feet, free throw line extended, whatever, I'm not going to be biting my nails, you know, because he's proven to do that time and time again, year after year. Westbrook, I'd be, like, scared every time he'd take a shot out of there.
Right, but, I mean, if you look at I think they're both great players.
But one can shoot threes and one cannot.
Right, but CP3 doesn't shoot a lot of threes. But, well, you know.
But Lane, he's shooting 40% for three.
Yeah. Who's the other guy that's still there? Roberto in Riverside. Hey, Roberto. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
sure,
it.
Sure.
Hey, I think that Chris Paul will be a better option just because I feel like Westbrook joined LeBron and AD. I mean, one can argue that Westbrook is as good as player as far as production and stat line than them two. If CP3 comes to L.A., he is for sure number three in the pecking order. And I feel like it'll be an easier transition, you know, because it is like a small 2-year window, like you guys said. We're playing for 2022, not for the next 5 years or so.
Right.
Yeah, I will say this again. I'm kind of mincing my words here, because I got to be careful. But I think both those players would adjust immediately. By the way, they've all played together on Team USA. They all got gold medals in 12 and 16. All the players we're talking about. The AD.
LeBron and CP3 are like best friends.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think there'd be an issue with pecking order or who eats first or, you know, any of that stuff.
Oh, because, John, you say that, but that's always a question.
Well, remember Westbrook, Harden, and Durant went to the finals together. They ended up losing to LeBron, but they all went together.
Don't you think it's easier to rack up triple doubles on a terrible team?
Sure, but the Wizards weren't terrible. They were like the 8 seed.
That's true. They were the 8 seed. That's fair.
So, but they weren't good, but they weren't terrible.
No.
Here's Camilo. Okay. You want to do one more? No.
Yeah, do one more.
Camilo in Boyle Heights. Hey, Camilo.
So, Mike.
Yep, it's you.
So I think the number one option should be Lonzo Ball, actually. But between these two guys right here, I'm taking Russell Westbrook. Listen, what happened to CP3 in the finals? Holiday shut him down. Westbrook's getting to the rim every time. He might not be the shooter, but we can get other shooters. But the size, the aggression, the how tough he is, I'm taking Westbrook all day.
All right. Yeah, I still think you need a shooter, but appreciate the call, Camilla. Glad to hear from you. So CP3 is godfather to LeBron's kids, one of LeBron's kids, I guess.
Wouldn't surprise me. I know they're really good friends.
Yeah, he said it on Kimmel the other day.
Oh, he said it on Kimmel. There you go. That's good enough for me. That's an authority. That's even better than the internet. See something on Kimmel. It's for real. Absolutely for real. All right, so this is the story about the woman on text. Now, I tease this. What do you do when a woman reaches out to you? You get a wrong number text from a blonde named Amanda.
All right, now, what do you know what the text said?
Yes, I do. Here's exactly what the text says. Hey, is this Charles? It's Amanda. We chatted on Tinder before when I came up to visit my aunt, but we never met in person. I'm back in town if you're around and wanted to actually go out this time. Are you free?
All right.
That's the text.
So let me tell you a couple of things.
Okay.
Number one, I know a blonde named Amanda, and Amanda Brown, you don't need to do this.
Yeah, it's not boss Amanda.
You don't need to reach out to these random guys. So that's number one. Number two, that's a scam text.
Oh, yeah.
That is somebody trying to hook you. And by the way, there's stories about this all the time. Did you read about that one woman that somehow coerced a guy to go back to his hotel room? And I don't know how she did it, but she got all of his money and valuables out of the hotel safe.
No way.
Yeah, Google it. It's unbelievable. They caught her. She's now in police custody.
How did she get into the safe?
Nobody knows.
Seems so secure.
Yeah, nobody knows. It's like they think it might have been an inside job. Like, you know how the hotel has a code to open the safe in case you check out and forget to unlock it?
Right.
And that she must have had that code? Because she took all of his stuff out of the safe and then left him. She drugged him. Like, she lured him back to the room thinking she was going to sleep with him.
Yep.
Then she drugged him, and when he passed out, she opened the safe, took all his stuff, and split. So that's what this could be. That's what your text could
be. It's definitely because there are thousands of people that have received this exact text.
Yeah, it's somebody throwing a line in the water. And it's like, you know, those emails.
And the goal, by the way, of the scam
is, I am a prince in Nigeria, and I need you to send me money.
The goal of the scam is to trick people into paying to register for dating, adult, escort websites in order to see nude photos from Down Bad Amanda. Apparently she calls herself Down Bad Amanda.
Why is she besmirching people actually named Amanda? Tell her to pick another. You know what? Tell her to pick the name Karen. That name's already ruined.
So,
well, nobody is going to respond to a scam text from someone named Karen.
Probably
correct. No. We're all on to the Karen thing. My dad got scammed years ago when they were living in Avon Lake, Ohio, and my dad somehow. My mom came home, and my dad had bought new aluminum siding for the house, and it was $28,000.
Oh, no.
And my mom was like, we don't need aluminum siding. We might sell this place. We might be moving to the desert. And my dad said, well, I only paid him half, and they never saw the guy again. Never saw him again.
Wow.
My dad was such a sucker. And naive.
And did he pay in full?
Yes. Yeah, paid in full. And afterwards, credit card company wouldn't do anything about it. It was a total mess. But I don't understand how some people, now there's a good example. How do some people fall for these scams? Like, especially preying on older people really bothers
me. My mom's really dumb. I remember one time when I was in Ohio, she got a call from, and it was on her cell phone too, not even like her landline, which I feel like those are like prime for scammers. Someone called her on her cell phone and said that it was Apple and they needed her iCloud information because they needed to verify something, and she was going to give it to him. And I was like, Mom, hang up. I was like, that's a scam. And she's like, well, I don't know. And I was like, you never give, no one's ever going to call you and ask you for your password. It's like calling someone and asking for like their social security number.
Yeah, there are some really smart scams out there. Some really tricky scams. And for, I don't know, how do people get your text number? Like, I get so many texts from people that I don't know with just blind links to things. Maybe completely computerized
or random.
Yeah. It's Facebook. Anytime you, like, buy something online, for the most part, like, you have your phone number, whether it's registered to your email address. Like, that's, you know, that's the world we live in now. They have access to all of that stuff.
They're coming after us. They're coming out. Everybody got to be smart. Be smart. By the way, the IRS will never, ever call you. They will. That's not what the IRS does. And I get a lot of scam messages saying, this is the IRS. You must call immediately. You are overdue on such and such a payment. And I looked it up. The IRS never calls anybody. You will get something in certified mail. You will not get something on your voicemail. So if you're getting that hack, that's easy to avoid. The IRS does not make phone calls like that. It's crazy the stuff that's out there that people fall, you know. All right, so John, did you hear what the NFL is going to institute?
Yes, we got to get into this.
We've got to talk about this.
This is a huge story.
Yeah, the NFL is taking unprecedented steps to try to rein in COVID during this upcoming season, and we've got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, and that NFL story in a minute. I wanted to mention, John, tonight I'm going out to play the par 3 at Rancho Park. And this will be, I don't know, the 9th time or 10th time that I've played the par 3 at Rancho Park. I'm not a golfer. I'm trying to learn golf. My goal tonight, and tell me if this is reasonable.
Okay.
Is to hit one ball off the tee and have it land on the green. Just one. I would be happy with one. I've never done it. I've never hit on a par 3.
You've never hit a green, what they call a green in regulation.
I've never hit a green in regulation, even though it's just that one shot. I don't know how I'm ever going to be competitive or avoid looking like a fool on September the 10th when you play me in this match. And the other thing is, Morales gave me all these tips, and the tips are exactly the opposite of the ones that the teacher gave me.
Oh,
so I'm going to see the teacher tonight, and he's going to try to undo everything Morales did.
I don't know what I would tell you in that situation. Everybody's got like a golf tip that they could exchange. What I would, you know, slowing down helps. Swing slower.
Slowing down. Morales is teaching me no huge backswing. Just don't worry about a huge backswing.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. All right, so the NFL made this really, really big announcement earlier today.
All right, so this is – I'm trying to think if there's another company in the world that has been this proactive. Here's what we're talking about. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, sent out a memo today that says – unvaccinated players in the NFL will be subject to severe protocols during training camp in the regular season, including daily testing, mask wearing, travel restrictions. But here's the new twist.
Yep.
The memo made it clear that unvaccinated players could, in theory, be responsible for losses of games and paychecks as well. If a game is canceled, all right?
Yep.
And they can't reschedule it. They're going to forfeit the game to the team that had the majority of unvaccinated players if they can prove that that caused the outbreak. In other words, if you refuse, and there's a handful of players who are refusing to get vaccinated now.
No more than a handful. I mean, there's a significant number of players.
So if you test positive and there's an outbreak on your team and the game gets canceled, your team gets a forfeit, and you have to pay for all the team has to pay for all the lost revenue that goes along with that game being lost. So it could be in the millions.
But you also lose your game checks.
Correct.
You lose your game checks.
So I'm not sure. I'm in favor. The NFL represents, their job is to keep as many players and people safe as they can. So I understand why they're being aggressive here. But do you think it's legal?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're not actually mandating that you get the vaccine. They're doing everything
so
short of
egregious against you if you don't.
Well, I mean, these are the rule. I think this is a totally reasonable rule. And I, you know, full disclosure, I got my two vaccines, my two shots of Moderna earlier in the spring. Ireland, you're vaccinated. I think everybody here on the show is vaccinated. And for the life of me, I can't understand why. And now I think this is going to make sense. Like guys like Cole Beasley. Hey, if you want to, as an unvaccinated player, cause an outbreak on your team and have everybody on that team lose a game check, then go ahead. That's essentially what they're saying. They're making it so difficult on guys that don't get vaccinated. You're basically risking everybody else's game check. And how popular are you going to be in the locker room when whoever, Josh Allen, doesn't get his check?
Yeah, it's I don't know how they're going to figure it out. I think this is the most egregious thing.
When you say egregious, hang on a second. What does the word egregious mean?
Egregious means like most radical proposal to deal with unvaccinated people that I've heard.
It actually means outstandingly bad and shocking. Synonyms are horrifying,
yeah,
horrible,
so that's not
terrible,
the right word.
Awful.
It's the most aggressive procedure yet.
And I'm for it, by the way. What, you know, I don't know why it's become so political. I mean, get your shots, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously, get your shots.
It's going to be, I'm waiting for everybody to react to this. It's going to be nuts. I mean, I'm surprised a lot of NFL players haven't reacted already.
Well, Cole Beasley already said he'd rather retire than take the shot.
Well, then he looks like he might have to retire.
Yeah. I mean, do you really want to risk all your entire team not getting paid because of you? Wouldn't that create an inner dynamic where a team basically pressures each other to it's basically peer pressure at that point, pressures everybody to get their vaccinations.
I'm not sure.
Hey, get your vaccination. I don't want to miss a check.
Yeah, it is like, and how would you, I'd feel incredibly guilty if I was the one that, you know, like, for example, there's a coach at Washington State.
Okay.
The head
coach. Oh, yeah, I saw this, yeah.
Who is refusing to get vaccinated and he's not letting anyone know why. So maybe he does have, like, a medical condition or something. So I don't want to make fun of the guy or, like, call him an idiot or anything. But it is, he's the leader of the team.
Right.
And he's refusing to get vaccinated. And Washington State has a policy that if you attend a game, you have to be vaccinated. So how can the coach not be? His name
and
is
the
Nick,
coach not vaccinated?
Yeah, his name is Nick Rolovich. And he's come out and said, I'm keeping it personal as to why I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. Like Media Day was the other day, and he refused to go to Media Day.
Hey, Lindsay, what do you think of the new rule?
I mean, I just think it's just them giving the options or the consequences, I guess, for what happened last year. I feel like it's more of a logistics thing, you know, like because last year there were games that were canceled or postponed because of outbreaks. And then there were questions about couldn't we reschedule it? Like then they had to extend it for a week. And so now I feel like they're just getting their ducks in a row saying, OK, this is what we do. This is what happens when these COVID situations come up and this is how we're going to handle it.
You said the right word, consequences for not being vaccinated. That's essentially what the NFL has done. They've created consequences if you choose to not be vaccinated.
So I'm trying to make this like about us. Like, so if we came to ESPN and there was an outbreak because somebody in the building refused to get vaccinated and it got a bunch of the rest of us sick, Number one, that person would be an outcast. But number two...
But we wouldn't get sick because we're all vaccinated.
But people are getting... Lindsay, this Delta variant is getting people testing positive for COVID left and right.
Right, but not
yeah,
getting sick
positive,
and going to the
but
hospital.
They're not getting sick. The
but
only
still,
reason
if we get it, we
are
can't
even
go out.
Getting it.
Like, if
but
I got it, I couldn't go to... I couldn't do my Lakers job. I couldn't go to games
right.
anymore.
But you'd only know that because you're getting tested regularly for your Lakers job. I feel like the average person would have no idea if they got it because they're not getting tested for it. Because why would you get tested for it if you have the vaccine and you're not sick?
And by the way, it's not legal, I don't believe, for private companies to mandate that you get a vaccination.
So is that how the NFL's getting around it? They're not mandating it, but they're making it so punitive if
Bingo.
You don't do it that...
Bingo.
Hmm.
It's a brilliant move for the NFL. It's a brilliant move for the NFL because they're making the consequences so serious for somebody who is unvaccinated and picks up the virus. I mean, literally, you could torpedo your whole team and lose that team. If you're the result of everybody not getting paid for a week, whew, you kidding me? You are not going to win Mr. Popular on your roster.
All right, guys, let me ask you a question. Have you been able to hear my dog barking this whole segment?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
A little
That's
bit.
Reagan.
Yeah. I don't know what her deal is.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one here. All right.
Yeah. No, she sounds fine.
I think
she sounds like she's in good voice.
Yes, I think she's getting senile is the issue.
It happens. It happens. My dog, Sophie, wanders around. She stares at things for really long periods
know,
of time.
It's just, what in the world?
She can't hear. So she's deaf, and she just stares at things for a really long time. I think she's got Dogzheimer's.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah,
could be.
I mean, I think she's got what that is. She's still happy. She still eats. She's still doing all that stuff. But I don't think she's as sharp as she used to be. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Highlight of my day. It is time for she of the mighty Instagram account at Lindsay Baseball to deliver Radio Tinder. Linz, what do you got going?
All right, guys.
I'm trying to
well,
make your introductions bigger and bigger and bigger, Linz.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I know it's the highlight of your day for sure.
It is. Show. It is.
All right. So a woman's boyfriend is furious at her for spending money on herself and not him. But here's exactly what happened. She asked Reddit's Am I the A-Hole Forum for advice. She has $55,000 in savings. When her boyfriend of 3 months asked her to loan him $5,000, she denied his request. He then became furious and accused her of being selfish. The woman wrote, quote, I told him I wasn't comfortable loaning him money this early in their relationship. He then flipped the conversation on me, getting angry at me because I'm planning on getting a breast augmentation, which will cost me $10,000 next year. He called me selfish for spending money on my body rather than him. Is she the a-hole? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, first of all, if he's with her, she's spending money on him and her, if you know what I mean.
So they're together, they're married, right?
No,
they've been dating
for 3 months.
Dating.
Okay, got it. For three months? Oh, screw that.
And how much money did she ask to borrow?
He asked to borrow from her $5,000, knowing that she's got like over 50 grand saved up.
It's kind of how much do you love her?
No, and if I had been in a relationship for 3 months or less and the person I was dating asked to borrow $5,000, I'd probably break up with him.
Yeah, I think that's too soon to be asking for money. I think she should get her breast augmentation and then share them with somebody else.
Yeah. One of the we were having this discussion years and years ago, Mace, when we were doing the show on TV in the morning.
Yes.
And one of the guys in the control room, I can't remember if it was Mark or Chip or, you know, one of the guys we work with in the control room. We were talking about somebody, you said I'm having a really bad, or I had a really bad day yesterday.
Yes.
And I tried to one-up you and said, oh, yeah, you think you had a bad day? Listen to this. And one of the guys walked out of the control room and goes, guys, neither one of you had as bad of a day as my best friend, who I watched write the check for his ex-wife's breast augmentation last night. So he paid for it, and then they broke up.
That's rough.
That's a bad day. But to answer your question, Lindsay, I don't think those two should be together, and I don't think they'll stay
together. Yeah, I'm not loaning money to people after I've been dating them for 3 months.
Yeah, $5,000 is a lot of money. Yeah, especially when you've known them for 3 months. I feel like I agree. And most of the people on the Reddit forum agreed and said, I think this guy's a loser, and you should probably break up with him.
There you go. He's the a-hole.
Yep. All right. So another woman in Florida was arrested after being accused of breaking into a retiree's yard and swimming naked in his pool. An officer said in the arrest report that the man described coming home from a doctor's appointment and spotting clothes near the pool. He then saw a naked woman swimming. He did not confront her and called police immediately. She was still there when officers arrived, and she refused to identify herself or say why she was there. She had to be restrained by police, and then she was arrested and charged with trespassing. So here's my question. If you had a pool and you came home to a stranger skinny dipping in it, would you confront them first, or would you do what this guy did and just go ahead and just call the police right away? Because I feel like I'd confront them. Would you?
Three words for you. 9-1-1. I am immediately calling the police.
Yeah,
why,
Lindsay,
would I go confront the person?
You don't want to confront that person. I can understand somebody really wanting to use a pool and jumping in it and swimming, but the added detail that it was swimming naked means they're a little nuts. And so I'm with Mace. I would call the proper authorities.
I feel
what
like
are you
I would be
say
way
if
too
you confront
curious.
Them? What are you going to say?
I'd be so curious. I'd be like, hey, what are you doing here? Why are you swimming in my pool? And, you know, maybe they have a perfectly logical explanation. Like,
you mean you wouldn't ask why are you swimming naked in my pool?
What would the logical explanation be? I just felt the need to take my clothes off and swim in your pool. What kind of logical explanation would you come up with?
Well, if somebody said that, I'd be like, okay, well, that's great. Can you please leave? And avoid the whole police thing. You know, I'm all about, like, keeping things simple. And, like, we don't need to make a scene here in front of my house and have all, like, the busybody neighbors.
But that,
like,
could be a crazy person.
Over there?
That could be a crazy person in your pool.
Sure, and then if it
they're
is...
swimming naked in your pool when you get home, they probably are a crazy
If it
person.
Is, then I'd run inside and call the police.
this story reminds me of the time that when I was in high school, I threw a party. My parents were out of town for the weekend.
Yep.
I threw a big party.
It was a regular risky business situation.
Yeah, exactly. And I cleaned up, just like they did in Risky Business, every last remaining piece of evidence from that party. Okay, like there's no way you could tell that a party had gone on in that house. And so my dad, mom and dad come home on Sunday night late, and my dad walks in and goes, how was the party? And I'm like, what? He goes, how was the party? And I'm trying to figure out, well, like maybe one of the neighbors ratted me out. I'm not sure how I should play this.
I should play it with my dad.
Yeah, and I go, I'm not sure what you're talking about. And he goes, just found a pair of underwear in the pool. I go, oh, that was Mike, my idiot friend. But he was an esteemed attorney in Orange County, Mike Fell. Shout out to Mike. I said, oh, that was Mike. He's being an idiot. He left his underwear in the pool. My dad looks at me and goes, girl's underwear. I go, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Me and some fraternity brothers busted into Ohio. What do they call Ohio State Stadium? Is it just Ohio Stadium?
Horseshoe.
The nickname is the Horseshoe.
Yeah,
we broke into the Horseshoe. We climbed over this high sort of spiked fence. The night before the Ohio State-Michigan game, we were down in Columbus partying. And somehow my jeans got caught on the spike.
Right.
And when I jumped down, my jeans completely ripped down the entire leg. And we went out on the field. We brought a football with us, and the lights were on. We were just playing football. We were just throwing the football around, and we ultimately got busted and reprimanded, and we didn't get arrested, but we did get a serious warning. But that's my story about breaking in somewhere and doing something goofy is the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Yeah, the moral of this story, Lindsay, is don't confront the guy. He might be a whack job.
Yeah. I would not work. Okay. I would not confront the guy.
Okay. I mean, maybe I could just yell to them from my window. But
yeah, there you go. Keep the doors locked.
That's a little dangerous. All right. So Megan Fox apparently does not drink alcohol anymore, and she recently revealed why in an interview. While appearing on Who, What, Where, where they reviewed some of her best red carpet looks, she told the story about the time that she was at the 2009 Golden Globe Awards, and she got really drunk and made an idiot of herself. At the beginning of the event, Fox said that she was seated at a table with Blake Lively, Kevin Jonas, Joe Jonas, and Nick Jonas. There were giant bottles of Moet placed in front of them, and she went through multiple glasses of champagne. She said, "No, I don't drink, and this is why. I was belligerent and said a bunch of bleep I shouldn't have said on the red carpet after that." Apparently, her boyfriend was humiliated by the whole thing, and that's all people knew her for a couple years.
This was before Machine Gun Kelly, right?
Yeah, 2009. So this was quite a while ago, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. Have you guys ever been really drunk and have done something extremely embarrassing that you can remember?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we were both in fraternities.
Yeah, we were both in fraternities. But I'm trying to think of something a little part of that.
Yeah, here's, like Megan Fox level embarrassing.
Okay, so here's what I did. I was doing mornings in San Francisco. I was a radio station called Alice, and I was working with Sarah. I can't remember her last name. Sarah. Because her partner had gone into rehab. Vinny went into rehab. And so she's a friend of mine. She said, will you come up and do some time up here? So I did some time. And we did a Cinco de Mayo show. And we began to do shots. And then we began to do body shots. And we got in so much trouble for doing body shots during this thing.
Because you did them on the air.
We did them on the air, exactly.
Who
so
did
me
body
with
shots?
Sarah, Sarah with me. There was a gay guy on the show. Gay guys. It was just a melee of body shots. We got in so much trouble. I really think it led to my ouster from that whole place. But that would be my very obnoxious, rude, drunken behavior. An example of it.
On Cinco de Mayo. Woohoo!
On Cinco de Mayo! Yeah. The old Cinco de Mayo.
I have several that would fit that description, but I can't think of one being like super Megan Fox embarrassing like that.
Whatever happened to body shots? We should really bring them back.
No, body shots are gross. Who does body shots? That's like a thing you see on like Spring Break on MTV.
Yeah, and I would think during a pandemic, they're probably not a great idea.
Bring them back.
Bring them back.
Bring them back. We want body shots back.
See.
All right, Lindsay, you got one more? Is that it?
I do have one more.
Okay.
Do we have the time?
Yeah.
Jorge, do we have time?
Oh, okay, don't ask him.
Just go.
Zach's not here. Go ahead.
Yeah. So earlier today, Down Detector began logging a spike in internet outage reports across a variety of online services and websites. Some of the more notable platforms that went down with the crash include TikTok, Airbnb, LastPass, Sony PlayStation, and UPS. Based on Twitter reports, the source of the problem was Akami, one of the largest content delivery networks in the world. The outage lasted for a few hours before the platforms were thankfully back up and running, so not too many people missed too much time on TikTok. What would you do if you suddenly lost the internet access and you had no idea when it would be back?
Well, this has happened to me.
Yeah, it happened to Mason like a week ago.
Yeah, no, it happened to me a week ago. It happened to me really bad with Spectrum last month when the internet went out during the show and I had to drive downtown and jump in the studio real quick. And the internet didn't come back until 4 o'clock in the morning. So I had absolutely nothing. I had cable TV, but I had absolutely no internet, absolutely none of the phone service, nothing for the rest of the night. So I survived 8 hours, 9 hours without the internet, but I couldn't survive much longer.
So whenever my internet goes out, I have a wireless card that I use as a backup. So I could try that.
Okay.
Now, if that's out, I could, it's like a wireless hotspot. If that's not working, I could always go to my phone and just do it off cellular. But if that's not working, I'm screwed. By the way, people think that the next terrorist attack won't be anything using weapons
cyber.
Yeah, it'll be cyber related. It'll be, you know, like they'll take down a whole bunch of networks. Like, and think about it, Lindsay, some of those places you described, obviously like Airbnb. You take them off the web, that's it. Game over.
Yep.
If we
yep.
ever lost the internet for the whole country, I think it would turn into The Purge.
Really?
I think people would lose their friggin' minds without the internet. I don't think...
Yeah, I tend to agree.
You know, the Pope, who's my favorite Pope, Pope Francis, came out this week and said he thinks we should all put our devices down more often. That is very good advice from the Pope. Now, here's the challenge. John, could you go a weekend Like, let's just say this coming week. Yeah, yeah. Starting
Wait
tomorrow.
Wait a minute. What? Didn't the Pope like the Instagram models
exactly.
with like the scantily
he did,
clad out?
But he does.
God bless him.
But his screen time is way, way down. His percentage is way down on his phone.
Okay. So that makes
just
the
occasional Instagram model. So, John, could we, if we finish the show tomorrow at 4 o'clock, could you go the weekend without any internet?
Sure.
You really could.
I don't know why I would.
I feel like you'd struggle quite a bit, Ireland.
Well, you would have a hard time.
No,
man.
Because I would just golf both days all weekend and then go out both nights. And then
but you would not be
it.
Able to use your phone for the internet.
Right, but I'd be done with it. I mean, I would just leave my phone in a drawer.
I get so freaking
I'd get up Saturday morning and golf, then I'd come home, I'd take a shower, I'd go out.
You know, I don't know if I could do, I don't think I could do it. I've gone off the grid a couple of times successfully. And a couple of times less successfully.
Forget. You a couple of times you've made like a big deal about I'm now unplugged, I'm off the grid, blah blah blah. So you took off for a week and on Monday I was working with Ramona. And I went, and Mason claims he is off the grid, unreachable for an entire week. And Ramona goes, seriously, he said that? He goes, yeah. He goes, he just made a fantasy baseball trade with me 5 minutes ago. So you've never really gone completely off the grid. And
yeah.
I remember when I confronted you with that, you said, well, fantasy baseball doesn't count.
Well, fantasy baseball doesn't count. I mean, I was in the thick of
like,
a race.
That is the internet. What are you talking about?
That was the one exception was fantasy baseball. That's the one thing I would allow myself. That would be the hardest thing for me to go without is checking my fantasy baseball team.
There you go.
I am addicted to fantasy sports. I can't live without following my baseball team, my NBA fantasy team, the Trudell League with all the pros, in which I finished sixth, by the way, sixth out of 14 this year.
That's not terrible.
Which I'm very proud of. Fantasy football, obviously. I comb the waiver wire constantly and try to make sense of my roster. This is my year, John. It's the year of the mace. Fantasy football, year of the mace.
Mm-hmm. Well, you finished last four out of the last 5 years.
I'm due.
Well, this may be there you get me because I can't be there for the draft. I'm going to be like in the middle of Idaho, and so I've got to find somebody to draft for me.
Somebody's got to draft for you?
Yeah.
Why? You can't do it from you can't do it from Idaho?
I cannot. So I'm going to be in a boat in the middle of a lake. So,
wow.
But I'll find somebody. Somebody will do it.
Get Lindsay to do it. Get Jorge to do it.
Lindsay fell asleep the last time.
Yeah,
somebody
I
asked her
said.
To do it.
Asleep,
yeah. And I have
he
no
said,
idea what I'll be doing.
Yeah, and Jorge would draft using the swag system.
Exactly.
Which hey, he might do pretty well with that.
Which I don't think would be.
It does work for him.
Maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah.
It does work
that,
for him.
All that great.
All right, coming up next. We circle back to this. Kenley Jansen last night, I got to go to the Dodger game last night. John questions whether I was there for the entire thing, and I'm looking at Juan. He's giving me a thumbs up. Of course we were there till the end because I don't leave baseball games early because you never know what's going
to
happen.
I've never known you not to leave a baseball game early.
You've never known to know me to never leave a game.
There you go. Very, very made a lot of sense.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. You have no idea because you're not tracking me.
Yeah, well, anytime I've ever been to any function with you, regardless of whether it's a baseball game or not, you've ghosted early.
Well, I ghost a lot of lot of parties.
So there's no way you're staying to the end of these things, including last night. I think as soon as Kenley Jansen gave up the homer, you headed for the parking lot.
You're absolutely wrong, but if you gave me truth serum, I would tell you the same thing. I was there till the bitter end. Because I still had a bunch of nachos in my helmet.
Well, that might have kept you.
Yeah. No, my helmet nachos were fantastic. They had carne asada on them. They were fantastic last night. And no Dodger dogs. All right. One of the big things we kind of started the show with was Kenley Jansen blew a save. John's ready to throw him in the trash. Says
no. I'm getting a backup, a plan B. I want, and in case he does it again, we need to be able to go to somebody else. You're ride or die with Kenley, right?
You don't. I am ride or die.
You wouldn't
with Kenley.
Even go out and look for another reliever.
The guy saved 21 of 25 games this year. And by the way, the reason I would get a starter instead of a reliever is I would like the option to move Julio Rios to the same role he was last year in the postseason. Get a starter. then you can afford to move Urias into higher leverage positions later in the season. I don't know if Kenley's
or just go
be
get Craig Kimbrell, and when Kenley's going through a swoon like he is now, he's blown two saves in a row. Just throw Kimbrell out there for a few games.
Guess how many saves Craig Kimbrell has blown this year?
I don't know, but they're on a bad
four.
On a bad,
same number as Kenley.
Yeah, but he's on a bad team.
All right. Should you boo your own team, I think, is a very good question. And are you done with Kenley? I think it's ridiculous, but some people are. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.